It's been about 3 weeks since fire swept through a part of central Maui, burning through more than 9,000 acres. The initial fires started on former sugarcane fields. Dry conditions combined with high winds pushed them across roads, even forced some flights to be diverted from Kahului Airport. Fires are part of the environment in which we live, but as with so much else, they are being affected by climate change. And they're a growing problem in many parts of the Pacific. HPR's Noe Tanigao has been looking into this and joins us with more.
Right, Bill. It was so fascinating to meet Clay Trawernick. He's a wildland fire specialist, and he's been looking at this huge data set that we've got of fire records. It goes back all the way to 1904.
Wow.
So we've got a set to look at here, and what it shows is that we've had this 400% increase in acres burned just in the past several decades here. And he says that fires affect Hawaii way differently than they do in other places.
One of these impacts that distinguishes fires in Hawaii from the rest of the mainland is the fact that once you get an area that's burned, it's just opened up this erosion problem now. All of these fallow lands that we're no longer using, you get these big fires, they burn out all of that grassland and shrubland, they kind of erode the edges of our watershed forests. That grassland expands over the long term and you lose forest cover, but in the short term, all of that soil is now completely exposed to rainfall and you get these big sediment loads being carried out to the reef.
So that Maui fire you were talking about is the perfect example here. I mean, Trawernick says there used to be an average about 5,000 acres a year burning all the way through the early 1900s. There was a spike in the 1960s. Then, 1970s through 90s, there was a huge jump. So these days, we see 20,000 acres burned annually across this state. I mean, they thought, oh, yeah, it must be climate change. But the biggest correlation that he and other scientists have found after studying this is the changes that we've had in land use, the demise of plantation farming and ranching. And that's leaving huge tracts of land basically untended, kind of, right?
Well, that's, I was going to say, when you did the 70s to the 90s thing, that was a sharp decline in terms of plantations. And the water that goes with them, the use of water, as well, along as part of that, part of the picture.
It certainly is. And now firefighters are fighting fires in this land that they were used to really not be responsible for, where fires were not as common, and also where it's harder to get to water these days. So complications are multiplying. And, you know, people look at fires and our history of fires, and a lot of them they can't tell why they were caused. But of the 800 in history they've pinpointed the causes for, 98% were actually started by people, and 75% of those were accidental. This sounds nuts, but it's actually kind of good news, according to Trawernick, because that tells us that we can stop this if we just think a little bit more closely about our careless matches, about our barbecues, the campfires, even stuff like leaving your car running in tall grass. I mean, you know, stuff like that. I mean, we remember it was just a spark from an axe that started that Mendocino fire, you know, last year. Well, it depends on conditions being ripe for a fire to happen. And that has a lot to do with humidity and fuels. There's, you know, we've got the fuels out there now, of course, and there is a sweet spot for where these fires happen on the landscape. Trawernick says all those old sugar pineapple ranch lands are just about perfect because the shrubs, the grasses come in, African grasses move in, and once they're burned, they love fire. They come right back on in. Their roots stay fine underground. The tops burn off, and then they sprout again, and they're ready for another fire, really. And that was a perfect example there in central Maui. Now, here in Honolulu County, Trawernick says we've got an astronomical number of fires, 500 to 600 ignitions a year. He can't find another city that's got that kind of frequency. Not house fires, but we're talking about little fires in vacant lots and all of that. And he says it's not going to get any better with climate change because that's pointing to drying trends all across Hawaii. Our fire risk in Hawaii is just kind of year-round, and it's driven by green-up events, as it is elsewhere in the Pacific where you have
green
these—
Green-up events.
Green-up, yeah, like in Australia where you just have water, rain come down, the grasses green up. Then you have a drought or drying, and then turns brown and it burns, and then you have the green up again. And so that is kind of, our fire risk is year-round, just like that. Why don't we have the same kind of scary fires like they have in California? Because we don't have the topography or the land mass for it, according to Trauernicht. He also says we don't have that humidity down into the teens. This is where he thinks we're going to have trouble in the future, because the forecast for climate change is that we're going to be facing more drying trends. And what that means is the only ways we're going to have to reduce our fire susceptibility is by working on the fuel, cutting it down, making fire breaks, maybe even burning areas to, you know, controlled burns, spraying maybe just to disrupt the continuity of these grasslands. Otherwise, we've got to convert to something that just won't burn. He said in Makaha last summer, the only things that didn't burn were the golf courses.
Interesting,
right? So he says, you know what? He's a little sheepish about the actions we can take, what it really will take to mitigate our fire risk. It's to plant trees. He says it's got a lot of other benefits as well.
Sequestering carbon, locking them up in trees and soils has multiple benefits. And if you go back to the CCC days in the 30s, I mean, we were planting millions of trees every year. There was this big overpopulation of goats that pretty much denuded the coal owls, and they were afraid we were going to lose all of our topsoil. The need was recognized by the public and by the government, and these projects were funded. And now a lot of that obviously was coming from the federal government.
Oh, it was.
But, I mean, they were literally planting millions of trees a year. It's within our capacity to do it. We've got this incredibly diverse and inspirational group of watershed partnerships and other folks that are doing this work. We have a lot of know-how across the state to tap into, and a lot of super dedicated people that are already devoting their lives to these things,
yeah.
But they're all struggling for funding.
Interesting how he sets up our situation here. We've got more danger ahead with the climate change situation, but we have the people in place here now in our state who already are working on it.
Well, it's interesting, too, because there are a number of things that tie together with this. You talked about watershed protection, and sometimes people don't make that connection in terms of forested land and watershed protection, but that's a very basic point in that whole cycle. And just as that greening up cycle, as lots of rain, things grow when those grasses dry, they become fuel. Again, a way longer term around that is further attention in terms of watershed protection and buildup on that side as well.
Exactly. It's even our dear friend Chip Fletcher, the Mr. Climate Change, was astounded that the best idea he's seen coming around the bend is planting more trees. And even planting more any kind of plants.
All right. Go plant something. All right.
We can do this.
We can. Noe Tanigawa, you know that she covers arts, cultures, ideas for us here at Hawaii Public Radio. You can find more on this story and more at hawaiipublicradio.org.